I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Class is in session. Good evening, class. This is Binary Gamer, and I am your host, Tony Spears. We are going to sit here and learn a little something about video games. So, this week I decided I'm going to keep things a little more topical. I have seen some things in the news and some things have been developing in gaming, and while I'm a big proponent of learning about gaming's history and the importance of that history, it's also important to stay in the now and to understand current events in games and why those are important. So the main things I want to touch on are some shows that have recently come out. One show in particular that has recently come out that I'm a real big advocate for, and I'm going to be kind of throwing them some free PR here, but that's fine because I feel like if it's anything that makes better the the landscape of games preservation and the appreciation of not just new games but old games, then obviously it's something that needs to be highlighted and definitely put out there. And then some other things that I've gone through and I've discovered in recent days, just really trolling around the internet and finding some cool stuff. And then a story that, while not exactly new to everybody, is troubling to me, and I want to explain specifically why I find it troubling. So we are going to get into that. So real quick, let's start out with, well, obviously the business of the show. So remember, you can hit up everything that Binary Gamer does over on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, all the places you can get podcasts, you can find Binary Gamer. Make sure to head over to youtube.com and look up Binary Gamer. We're still not quite at that 10,000 views yet in order to get our custom domain over there. But if you go and you search Binary Gamer, you will be able to watch all of our awesome shows. I'll put a link in the description of this podcast as well. And of course, you can hit me up, Tony Spears, on Twitter at iFlipOfTheSwitch. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, complaints, things you would like put on the show, different topics, maybe things that you'd like to hear my opinion about or for me to make a lesson plan off of, you can send all of that awesomeness over to podcast@binarygamers.com. That's Binary Gamers with an S. Yes, unfortunately, it had to be made plural, but you can definitely send everything over there. And that is the business of the show. So now that the business is done, let's get over to the meat, shall we? All right, so let's just get right into it. So some things I take umbrage with first, and then that way we can end on a good note, and everything will be awesome. So if unless you have been living under a rock, you're aware of the fact that PewDiePie has pretty much tested the limits of what is acceptable online. I mean, this is pretty much at its break point, as far as I'm concerned, and it's really irritating for me as someone that makes content not just on YouTube, but I mean, obviously the show you're listening to and various other things. And it's really irritating when there's a person in a position as he is, which, if you're not aware of who PewDiePie is, man, one of these days I will be able to word, I promise you, then you'll be flabbergasted to know that he's the highest paid, like I guess you say a YouTube celebrity in the world. Like, the guy makes ridiculous amounts of money making content on YouTube. His channel has a gratuitous number of subscribers. He gets millions and millions of views on all of his videos. The guy is a ad revenue powerhouse. And in recent events, he's had advertisers pull out because of some of his content and things that he said. And then most recently, he dropped the N-word on YouTube during a stream. He was playing PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, which I can totally understand how one would blurt out obscenities in moments when you lose that one particular firefight. But that doesn't excuse the language. Also doesn't excuse him in the context of just coming out with a video later on and being like, oh man, by the way, like, really sorry about what I said. No, I don't subscribe to that, and I don't accept that as an apology. My problem with it is this, is as a father of two that has two kids that watch way more YouTube than I could ever consume in a weekly basis, let alone daily, my kids have like specific YouTubers that they like to watch. And it pains me to know that there's an audience out there for PewDiePie that is being influenced by his actions. And it's not just his actions. It's not like the guy's going out and burning the American flag or something like that. It's not that. It's the things that he says. And then that translates over into a mode of thinking to a very easily sculptable mind to a young audience that, you know, it essentially becomes religion when it comes from a person that you look up to or whose, you know, content you really subscribe to. Like, there are a lot of people out there that just watch one particular YouTuber. Like, they watch just that one person. Now, myself, I watch a lot of different varying content because I like different personalities on YouTube. And one of the things that I've come to realize is that I like to, like, the main thing that pulls me into someone's content is if I can appreciate their sense of humor, like the way that they'll crack a joke. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be the most highbrow comedy in the world, but I have to at least be able to appreciate the work that goes into, you know, cracking wise or just, you know, just a really good bit. I can appreciate that. And that's what draws me in. Not to mention just the type of content. Like, I watch a lot of video game content. I watch a lot of like different comedy stuff, like music videos, crap like that. But that's not the point. The point being is that this guy has kind of left the realm of like reasonable thought, in my opinion, to where like he's just not thinking. He's not thinking about the things that he says as if they have consequences. They do. They have numerous consequences because there's millions of people watching his stuff. And so those millions of people are seeing you just out front and presenting yourself in such a way, eventually they start to emulate that. And I'm not saying that it's just, you know, a bunch of kids running around the streets, you know, saying the N-word and, you know, being douchebags to each other. It's not that. But what it does is if we don't present a system of accountability, then eventually what happens is that this stuff just becomes the norm. And YouTube is really good about making sure that people are flagged for, you know, specific type of content, for language. They're a little overbearing sometimes, depending upon the type of content that you're making. But for the most part, they have a system in place to keep people, you know, to keep, you know, checks and balances. It's not perfect by any means because there's so much content being put on YouTube on a daily basis that it's impossible for people to do it, so they have an algorithm to do it. And that algorithm is not perfect because it was written by a person. So at some point, you have to take into account that it's not a perfect system. But when stuff like this pops up where a lot of people see it and they're like, holy crap, did you see what PewDiePie just said? Or it doesn't have to just be PewDiePie. It can be any person. What I'm getting at is that it's not just PewDiePie. It's a culture that we have cultivated in places like YouTube and various other places on the internet that make it okay for you to to blurt out these things, to say these types of obscenities and stuff like that, to act a certain way, as long as you're smart enough to go back, backtrack, and make an apology video. And that's not right. That's not the way it works. Like, yes, of course, you should be sorry, but it doesn't fix what you did. It doesn't stop the fact that you said what you said, regardless of the context, like regardless of what you were thinking at the time, or like how you were feeling and stuff like that. That doesn't matter. Like, it's about accountability, and I think we need to get back to better accountability with the people that we're putting on these pedestals. You know what I mean? There are plenty of content creators out there that go out of their way to make not clean content. There's plenty of cursing on the internet, plenty of cursing on YouTube for that matter. But what I'm saying is that it's not we need to get back to cultivating a type of better accountability. That's what really irks me about this, is that it's a total lack of accountability of self. And that's what really irritates me. Like I was saying before I derailed myself, there are plenty of creators on YouTube that go out of their way to make sure that they're not just not overly offensive. Of course, they're gonna curse if they curse. Some people are really good about making, you know, like PG content for kids, and that's great. But, you know, nobody has to be a saint. I don't, you know, I say F-bombs in my freaking videos and hell on this podcast. But that's not the point. The point is that if you're going to be making this content and you're going to present it out there to where the world can see it, the public eye is on it, then you need to hold yourself accountable to the things you say and the things that you do. Okay. And this isn't just me singling out one person. I know it very much seems that way, but it's not just him. It's a lot of other people that go off the rails, and they forget, I think they honestly forget how many people are really watching. You know what I mean? Probably not. It doesn't matter, though. What does matter is that I needed to get that off my chest, and that's why I'm keeping this more topical, keeping this more in the now. It really does irk me, because it sets a precedence, and it puts a bad taste in people's mouths for people that make content, the people that, you know, that make stuff to put on the internet. And that's not fair to those people that, you know, are just out there trying to make videos that they think are cool, or show you why this game might be freaking awesome. I don't know. It's not fair. And so I think there needs to be a little more accountability of self when it comes to things like this. An apology video doesn't wipe away what you did. You need to just be better. That's what it comes down to. Just be better. All right. So now on to awesome stuff. So if you have not heard recently, one of the coolest effing games ever recently just released, and it's pretty freaking awesome. So on PC, Divinity Original Sin 2 came out to overwhelmingly positive reviews. Like right now, it's already sitting at 500,000 in sales, and it's only been out for 2 days, I think. It is doing crazy good. So if you're not familiar with Divinity Original Sin, let me break it down to you. So Divinity Original Sin is essentially if you took Baldur's Gate and Neverwinter Nights and you smashed them together, and then you added in just insanely good looking graphics. I'm talking like really, really sharp looking graphics. This game is freaking awesome. It's really deep. It has many, many layers of customization as far as like how your characters, like, you know, how your prime character is going to roll, how your like your whole party can roll. And it's really, really cool in that it gives you a lot of freedom. Another cool thing about it is that it allows you to play a D&D game essentially online co-op with your friends, which is really awesome. So you can get up to 4 people in a party, and you can play through the campaign together, and it's pretty freaking rad. So if you're interested at all, definitely go and check that out. We will have a video up on the Binary Gamer YouTube channel, a Why It's Cool on it. on Tuesday. So definitely go and check that out over there. Chris gives you the whole rundown on why this game is pretty awesome. Goes pretty deep into some of the mechanics, explaining a lot of stuff as far as like character customization, the way game mechanics work. Tries to keep it as spoiler-free as possible. There's some stuff you just can't avoid when it comes to the way that the video begins, because it's the early part of the video, but you can still, you know, get by without having the whole thing spoiled for you. So definitely go over there and check that out. It is pretty freaking awesome. You will like that very much. So now let's get down to the thing that makes me the happiest in recent memory when it comes to the wide world of games, and that is Pockets Full of Quarters. So if you're not familiar with the mother show, mothership, if you will, Pockets Full of Soup is a storytelling show ran by one Jared Petty, of formerly of IGN, I believe now of EA. And it's essentially a show where you go on and he asks the same question every time. Tell me someone that you're thankful for. And so the people will, the guest on there, he's had everybody from Greg Miller of Kinda Funny. He's had a lot of people from IGN on there. He's had a few guest spots and stuff like that from like his Patreon supporters and things like that. But one of the main things about Jared Petty that you need to know is the fact that the man is a walking, talking video game encyclopedia. He knows a lot more about games than most people know about like American history. And it's kind of mind boggling, some of the stuff that he knows. He was on GameScoop, one of IGN's video game podcasts, and the guy could literally just destroy 20 questions. Like, it was crazy. Like, the just obscure games that he knew. What I'm getting at, though, is aside from just Pockets Full of Soup, which is a great endeavor in and of itself, because I think it's important to tell these stories, he has recently launched a show called Pockets Full of Quarters. And essentially what it is it's the same concept as Pockets Full of Soup, where it's a storytelling show about that's a storytelling show about the people that you're thankful for. Pockets Full of Quarters is about the games that you're thankful for. And so the first episode that he has is about the game Pirates, Sid Meier's Pirates. The original one started out on the Commodore 64, and then the NES. The NES is the one that he's talking about. Me, personally, I played it on the Sega, because that's what all the cool kids were doing back in the day, playing on Sega. But it's a really cool show, and the way that he does his presentation for it, it's very factual, and it's very much, you know, like letting you know, like, hey, this is why I think this game is awesome. And so I definitely urge any and everybody to not only go and listen to Pockets Full of Soup, because it is a great show. It's on iTunes, it's on YouTube. You just gotta look up Pockets Full of Soup, but also go and listen to Pockets Full of Quarters, because I think that what he's doing for games in the realm of just highlighting, you know, older games and games that people are thankful for and the reasons why they're really cool or why they may be impactful is really important. And so I think that everybody should go and listen to Jared Petty's show, because it's pretty flippin' awesome. And so that is it for this week on Binary Gamer. I know this is a bit of a short show. Again, trying to, keeping things kind of topical, I guess you'd say. But the main thing that I need to let you guys know is that I am going to be moving soon, and the Binary Gamer studio is going to be torn down, something fierce, and a lot of stuff is going to be in transit. So what I'm going to do is try and run everything off of my handy-dandy laptop with my Audio-Technica, but I don't want to bring you guys subpar, a subpar show. You know what I mean? I want to put forth the best that I can. So just keep your eyes on Twitter and various other means. Of course, you can head over to Facebook as well, to the Binary Gamer Facebook page, and get updates there. But for the most part, unless I can get things set up really well with my laptop and my USB microphone, things are going to be on a hiatus until I get where I'm going, and then we'll do a big reveal when I get there. But in the meantime, please, by all means, hit me up on Twitter, ask me questions. We can still engage in this awesome conversation about video games and why they are awesome. And that is going to do it. Remember, you can find Binary Gamer over on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, all the places that you get podcasts. You can find Binary Gamer. You can also find us over on YouTube. Just search Binary Gamer. You can check out all the videos and awesome stuff that we do. Again, we have a recent Why It's Cool over there, all about Divinity Original Sin 2. Super awesome game. And you can find the Facebook page over at facebook.com/binarygamer. Head over there and we can get the discussion going. Just come in and say hi. I mean, we're cool with that too. And of course, you can find me over on Twitter at iFlipWithTheSwitch. Go over there, ask me questions. And you can throw questions at the podcast over at podcast@binarygamers.com. And that is going to do it for this show. Thank you very much for tuning in. I hope you guys have an awesome day, week, month, year, whatever it is you need to be awesome. I hope you have it. Class dismissed.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.